So it's been a year since President Obama announced that there would be a 30,000 troop increase, his so-called surge into Afghanistan.
And it just doesn't seem like that long ago, but yeah.
Well, it took them quite a while to get them in place. It really wasn't until the late summer that the troops were in place. The offensive ostensibly is going on now, and now it's not even really being called an offensive. But a scheduled high-level review of the policy and the strategy will take place at the White House any day now. We wanted to get a high-level review of our own, and one of the best people to do that is someone whose voice you've heard many times on the program, but not in such close proximity to us. Here in the studio is foreign correspondent for our partner, the BBC, author of the book In Afghanistan, David Loin. First of all, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, it's great to be here, John. I've talked to you from our very dusty studio in Kabul. It's very nice to be in New York.
Well, the reason you are in New York is kind of an interesting sort of echo of the WikiLeaks story that we're discussing. You were part of the production, I wouldn't say on stage necessarily, but you helped to produce this great game production that originally was the Tricycle Theater Company in London's performance of really hundreds of years of history of Afghanistan presented in a long theatrical experience that audiences in London hungered for. And it's been around, it's been at the Walker at the Guthrie Theater in Minneapolis. It's been out on the West Coast. It was in Washington, D.C. It's finishing up its run here in New York. Yeah. What does a historical play do to help us understand what's going on in Afghanistan that maybe WikiLeaks intelligence cables don't?
Well, New Yorkers now get a chance to see this. As you say, it was a storm in London as this theater company has brought it over to the NYU Skirball, and you were there last night, and you saw this unveiling, really, of 200 years of history. I mean, people talk about Afghanistan as the graveyard of empires, the British in the 19th century, the Russians in the 1980s, and now America's longest war and very much becoming Obama's war. Just trying to learn the lessons from what happens in the past. And in between the plays, the plays are nuggets from history, taking different bits of periods. But in between the plays, there are individuals who are real individuals who've been interviewed by for the show, transcripts of what people are saying today. One of them, a military officer now in Kabul, who says, well, you know, we've been in Afghanistan for 9 years, but in some ways this is the first year for the ninth time. It's not really like 9 years. And I think that the surge review we'll have, what the White House will be seeing now, they'll be saying actually maybe 2011 for the first time we could say is the second year we've been in Afghanistan. The surge that is working, I mean, there are many ways in which it isn't, but we can talk about those, but in some ways it is.
Well, let's just begin with a positive note. You were in Afghanistan recently and described last night and in our conversation subsequently that there are certain areas of Afghanistan that seem positive, that seem to have improved as a result of the surge. The question is it sustainable?
Well, I was in Helmand province in the south, which has been a byword for lawlessness for many years. It's a place where British troops have been engaged in bloody combat since 2006. Now there are more U.S. troops than British troops in Helmand and in Kandahar in the south. They very much brought their focus down to that region. And Lashkargah, the main town there, felt like it was almost normal. I walked on the riverbank with men who looked like Taliban. I mean, because that's one of the Taliban's great strengths is that they are the local population. You know, there isn't a special uniform you put on to become a Taliban. These guys in pajamas with these wonderful Rococo big black turbans they wear, who didn't seem surprised that I was there. I had no security. The bazaar was working. Trade is really moving across the south in a way that it hasn't before. Finally, they've managed to deal with corruption on the roads in the south, which is a big issue since 2001, which was something, by the way, that the Taliban ended when they were in power. They were congratulated by Afghans for ending corruption on those roads in the south. It's taken the US and UK forces 10 years, really, to begin to grapple with that problem. So we're now beginning to grapple with the problems on the ground. Trade is happening. And I think it's those kinds of metrics of success. And how are you going to count success in Afghanistan? But those kinds of metrics, which are going to be the ones that are coming through.
You know, I mean, Afghanistan has been gone. The trouble with Afghanistan has gone back way further than the British. I mean, some people say it killed Alexander the Great at the young age of 32.
The only person who really took the country.
But he split it into four parts.
Right. Yeah.
So that's my question, is maybe the trouble with Afghanistan is that it's almost impossible to really deal with it as a whole, unified whole. Maybe the idea of having provinces or the split-up solution that Alexander the Great came up with is really the solution.
I think we're not there yet, but that's certainly not on anybody's agenda at the moment. I mean, that's in a sense the threat, that's the danger,
right?
Because the regional powers, you know, Russia to the north, you know, India and Pakistan to the east, Iran, of course, Afghanistan's western neighbor, would in a way love their zones of influence. And losing central control, losing the, you know, the center of the country, would, I think, further destabilize it. And you might end up with the one thing that everybody's been trying to avoid since 9/11, which is Afghanistan again becoming a crucible for terrorism.
But let's talk about this crucible threat thing last night, because there was a lot of discussion about what is the threat from Afghanistan, what is the rogue state threat, and is Afghanistan unique in any way? And does pulling out constitute abandoning a country that doesn't really necessarily want us in there at all? First of all, why is Afghanistan any different than Somalia or Yemen or, you know, certain areas of South Florida, which might harbor people who are angry with the United States government?
Because it was the place which happened to be the place where al-Qaeda were living at the time that they were plotting 9/11. And the war in 2001 was understandable, arguably justifiable.
So we're fighting the last war once again.
The mistakes that have been made since then have really given a problem for the US and UK troops, who are now beginning to try and withdraw with a withdrawal timetable. 2011, the beginning of the end of the surge, the beginning of a process of withdrawal, 2015, the end. And by the way,
they're talking more about 2015 than 2011 over there on the ground, right?
That's the real deadline. Yeah. That's the real deadline. But if you see, you know, if you want to see, I mean, the best way to see these plays, by the way, is to see all three of them together, which you can do over the next two weekends in New York. And then you get a real sense of this run of history from 1840s right up to 2010, and make up your own mind as to what might actually be the best solution for Afghanistan.
But would it be an extraordinary cost to pay if we just withdrew tomorrow, withdrew in the next couple of months?
I don't think that's on anybody's schedule.
Clearly it's not, but why couldn't it?
Because tactically, how are you going to withdraw 150,000 troops without leaving a civil war? The Afghan forces are nothing like as good as they could be. Look at how the Russians took 4 years to withdraw. They started to decide to withdraw in 1985. It took until 1989 before they did. They left 300,000 troops who were much better than the Afghan troops that we've got now, and actually successfully beat the Mujahideen for the next two or three years. So we're nothing like, but left banditry and corruption, which the Taliban came in as a sort of conservative opposition to try and get rid of. We got rid of the Taliban, and haven't replaced yet a better government.
We've got till 2015, according to David Loin, foreign correspondent for our partner, the BBC, author of the book In Afghanistan. Thanks so much, David.
It's a great pleasure.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.